because that's powerful. And then the breakout sessions, the one I went to, which was the faith one, Sister Julie did a great job. So let's just give everyone a hand. The hospitality team did a great job bringing the food together, feeding us. They always do a fantastic job. So we are so thankful for that. But since we have our bellies full, let's just stand up. And I'm going to ask if whoever will come forward. And let's just take some time to worship the Lord and just thank Him for His goodness, for who He is, and just get ready for our second session. Amen. Amen.
Jesus. As they continue to play, Sister Trisha has a word from the Lord that she's going to share. And this is a word that is directional for this moment in worship. And so I want you to hear what God is saying for right now, for this time of where we are, and how he wants us to respond.
So during worship, the Lord gave me a vision where he took me deep underwater, and then the water started to swirl like a vortex, and everyone in the room started to fall into the water. And then he brought the water out like a big wave onto the land. And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you today is, my spirit of refreshment is in this room, and I want to pour it out on you today. Receive the refreshing of the Lord. Receive the power of what he is doing. Open up your heart and say, Lord, I receive your refreshing spirit. Hallelujah.
So ladies, we don't have to return the same way that we came here. And an encounter with God will transform you. And so whatever you came in with, I encourage you to release it right now and let God refresh you. Let God refresh you. Because that is the refreshment that never ends, never runs dry. It's that flowing, the rivers of living water that you need to sustain you throughout this life. Let's worship in a way that we are just giving him everything and receiving what he has for us.
Thank you.
Let's all sing this, please.
Of a scripture that says, in him we live and move and we have our being. And that's truly what it's all about, and that's what we're saying today. Just let him be every part of your life. And we're going to sing that chorus one more time and think of that scripture. In him do you live? In him do you move? Do you find your entire being in him? Because that's what it's all about. Let's sing that one more time.
To you are all things.
I feel refreshed. And if you don't feel refreshed yet, don't give up, because we're not done. If you want to make your way back to your seats, please feel free to do so. It is my great, great honor to introduce our next speaker, who I consider a very dear friend. Brother and Sister Wagers, we've known for a long time. And Sister Wagers, it's safe to say, is one of my favorite preachers. I love, because I'm a very practical, give her a hand, she's fabulous. But I love illustrations, and illustrations stick with me. So probably one of the few preachers that I remember a lot of messages is from Sister Wagers, because I'll hear a phrase like the mean time, and Sister Wagers preached a message when the mean time is a mean time. And it comes back to my memory just like that. And I'll see different things that she has used. I'll see a rat on a hat. If you haven't been around her, you don't know. But if you know, you know what that means. And so I appreciate her so very much. And I really look up to her as an inspiration, because God showed me that my ministry is a little similar to hers. And it gave me someone I can look to and see, okay, God, I understand what you're doing in me, because I can see her example. And not that we're ever just like someone, but sometimes God fashions you like someone, and it helps to have that example that you can look to. And so I appreciate all that Sister Wagers is and what she has done through the years, and her husband we put up with. Just kidding. He is fabulous, and we love him, and he's going to be here blessing us at the Lighthouse tomorrow, so we're excited about that. But today, without further ado, please welcome Sister Edna Wagers.
Somebody,
hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I guess I'm a little emotional this afternoon, because it was 24 years ago on the 24th of February, 2024, that the Lord brought me through my breast cancer surgery, the chemo, and the radiation. And so my slogan everywhere I go is, I'm 75 and still alive. Yeah. We love the PCG, and we just feel at home, you know. And it's so good to be with you. And didn't we enjoy Sister Alicia this morning and what she shared? And all the breakout, I needed to go to the repent. But I wound up going to the leadership. But I still need to go to the repentance. And it's been a good day. How many of you have learned something? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, I feel like what I have to share this afternoon will fit nicely in with what was shared this morning. Let's see here. Yeah, we already learned today not to try to do everything by yourself. Yeah, that's good. I want to talk to you about rekindling first love for the Lord. I believe that that is a message for the church in America. Somebody say yes. To be honest with you, there are some messages that I have put together that I felt like was for the church, and I wore that message out, preached it everywhere I go. There are other messages that I've done a lot of work on and preached it one time and never preached it again, because it was for that one single church. But I feel like this message is for the church. Everybody say, the church.
The church.
Rekindling first love. Okay, if you're physically able to stand, I understand you've been standing, but we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2, and you're welcome to follow along on PowerPoint or in your Bible. John the Revelator is addressing the church in Ephesus. The year is about 96 AD, and Bible scholars tell us that John the Revelator is the same one who wrote the book of John, St. John, and he's also the John of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Okay. Jesus is instructing John the Revelator to give a message to this church at Ephesus. Verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This ain't just anybody talking. This is Jesus. Mm-hmm. Verse 2. Jesus is telling this church through John, I know thy works. Everybody say works. Thy labor. Thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3. And hast borne. You've been bearing up under some things. And hast patience, and for my name's sake, here it is again, hast labored. Everybody say labor. And hast not fainted. But look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Everybody say, remember. And repent. Everybody say, there is a God. We had a breakout session on repent, and the afternoon preacher's talking about repent. Remember, repent, and do the first works. Everybody say, redo. Okay, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In a nutshell, the church in America or anywhere in the world needs to remember, repent, and redo in order to keep the light burning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I love you more today than I've ever loved you in my life. Thank you for the last 24 years that you gave me. I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. All my life you have been faithful. I just pray that in this session you'll be with us and you'll speak to our hearts. Help me to share with them publicly those things you shared with me privately. Draw us close to you. Don't let a one of us leave here the same way that we came. I ask if there's any that is lost, that this would be the afternoon that they would give their heart and life to you. If there's any confused, give them direction, the answers that they need. Lord, wrap your arms around those that are lonely. I ask you to restore those who need physical restoration, mental restoration. Whatever the need is, Lord, fill those that are empty, that have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Have your way, and we'll make it all about you. Let me minister your word, Lord, with a broken heart. And with humility, in Jesus' name we pray. And all the ladies said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Tap the one on the right and say, now listen up, this is for you. A Okay. Rekindling first love. All right, to begin with, I want us to review a few things that we know about the ancient city of Ephesus. Okay, as we said, at the time that John wrote the book of Revelation, it was around 96 AD. And at that time, Ephesus was a major seaport, and look at the picture, it was the home of the Temple of Diana. You're looking at one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And that Temple of Diana was the signature of Ephesus. That's what the city was known for. How many of you would agree the signature of Paris is probably what? The Eiffel Tower? They're known for that. Okay, now understand something else. Years earlier, it was at Ephesus that the Apostle Paul preached and turned the city upside down. Both a revival and a riot broke out. Now look up here. That's that old school teacher. Look up here, look up here. That's what good preaching does. Anything that's going to stir up heaven is going to stir up hell. Somebody say, I know that's right. Now, case in point, if you go back to Acts chapter 19, we can read about that revival. In that revival at Ephesus, you can check out the picture, 50,000 pieces of silver, the wages of 50,000 days, was the value of those occult books that were burned by the converts. But you got to understand something. That revival was so great, first love was on fire, kindled up, and no price was too great. Didn't matter, the wages of 50,000 days. But listen, during that same revival, in Ephesus, a riot broke out among the silversmiths. Hey, they made little silver statues of Diana. And how many of you can see their signature was in trouble? The revival. You know what? I am so glad. We live down by Lebanon, Ohio. But I'm so glad I didn't carry my God with me today up here to carry. My God carries me. Yeah. We don't need a little silver statue, do we? Glory be unto God. All right, now, fast forward. It's this same church that we're looking at in the book of Revelation chapter 2. But listen, 43 years have passed. Somebody say, whoa. Now, since that great revival, and listen to the first words of Jesus. First of all, they are words of commendation. He commends them for their hard work, for their patience, for their identifying false prophets, and for not fainting. How many are glad that we have a Savior that sees what we're doing right? You know, and acknowledges that. Yes. But afterwards, his last words to this church are words of rebuke. There's condemnation now. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Again, let me say this. A lot can happen in 43 years. That's how long the revival had been gone. Now, there is a principle in this letter to those Ephesian Christians, we're talking about in chapter 2 of Revelation, that we must not ever forget. The church in America has got to get back to this. And here it is. Our worship of Christ must always come before our work for Christ. I want to tell you something. That church at Ephesus was a what? Busy church. Three times we saw the word work or labor, but they had lost their first love. Somebody say yes. Now, let me illustrate this principle with the following story, talking about how worship of Christ has to come before work for Christ. author Philip Yancey and his wife tell about the time, the first time that they went to Yellowstone National Park. And they were standing around that famous hole in the ground. Somebody say yes. Old Faithful. They're there by this large digital clock that counts down in minutes to the geyser's next eruption. And so, voila, there she blows, to quote Moby Dick. And after the first eruption, he and his wife, they were there with a whole ring of tourists around that famous hole. Now they decide to go over to the Old Faithful Inn and get something to eat. And you've got to understand that that inn had these huge plate glass windows. And all of the diners in the Old Faithful Inn could look through those plate glass windows and they could see that digital clock, could read the countdown, and they could see the geyser. Well, listen, when the clock got down to 1 minute, it was just like a signal went off. All the diners got up from their tables and they rushed to the windows and they trained those cameras. They were clicking. How many of you know this is an old story? See me later if you don't know what a clicking camera is. And at the same time, there's a twofold scenario going on. At the same time that geyser was erupting, there was, yes, clicking at the windows, but there was the clattering of dishes at the tables. The busboys and the waiters descended on those empty tables like a duck on a June bug. See me later. You don't know what a June bug is. And author Philip Yancey said, I turned and looked over my shoulder, and he said there wasn't one single busboy or waiter at the window. Not a one. Listen to that again. At the windows, cameras were clicking. At the tables, dishes were clattering. Why wasn't there one busboy or waiter at the table? Because Old Faithful had become entirely too familiar to them. And it had lost its ability to impress them. How many are still impressed with Jesus? Listen, I want you to consider this statement that was made by the late Ravi Zacharias. He said, our souls yearn for a wonder that reaches beyond the dimensions of our finite minds. Now, let's make this simple. How many besides me, you like simple things? Come on. What he's saying is, we come into this world and we just get to the place. Would you agree with me? We all say there has to be more to life than just this. There has to be something bigger than what we are. And listen, if we don't allow that wonder, what we're looking for toward God, Ravi said, we'll search for it elsewhere in false gods. And that's the truth. I've told the kids down at the Barberville Pentecostal Youth Camp, I've been down there for over 40 years. There is a missing piece in the heart of every person on this planet that only Jesus Christ can fill. Now, listen, I believe that statement that Ravi made describes that church in Revelation chapter 2 to a T. Because listen, many of them were second generation saints. They were born to believers, but what? 43 years have passed. And how many of you can see they no longer had a wonder toward God? They were no longer impressed Can I just say, tell it like it is? They were no longer in love with Jesus. That's it. Now, God had a plan to prevent this from happening. He said one generation, this is in Psalms 145 and verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. You say, Edna, what are you saying? I'll tell you what I'm saying. The revelation of who God is and what he can do can be lost in one generation. In a said another way, we're always just one generation away from paganism. How many's glad that someone passed it down to you, the gospel? Can I hear an amen? Listen, the Lord laid this on my heart. Jesus is the I am. He's the first and he's the last. He's Alpha and he's Omega, the beginning and the end. And listen, he is also our old faithful. Listen to what John the Revelator said over in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. He said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Jeremiah said it like this in the book of Lamentations 23. He said, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Say it with me. Great is thy faithfulness. All my life you have been so good. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, I said to myself, duh. D-U-H. Come on, give me a duh. Hey, if the tourists at Yellowstone could ooh and awe and clap for a geyser. Listen, when there is an eruption, then how much more should the church respond when there's an eruption of power by our old faithful? I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to shut up. 60 years ago, God reached down, took a little girl raised on the wrong side of the railroad tracks in the home of an alcoholic. I saw things I should never seen. I heard things I should never heard. I went to play the piano for my friends at the Baptist church. You say anything against the Baptist and I'll beat you up. God gloriously saved me. I went to a little storefront Pentecostal church. God filled me with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me to shut up. I'm not going to shut up. Glory to God. How much more should the church respond when there's an eruption of power by our old faithful? Look at this, Psalms 147 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise is comely. The first word praise is the Hebrew word halal, as in hallelujah. And it means to boast, to be clamorously foolish. That's noisily foolish. I can't help it if this offends you, but we're not talking about subdued here. Glory be unto God. It means to rave. It means to celebrate. The second Hebrew word is another word. It's Tehillah. It's a song of praise. And listen, the psalmist said that psalm is of praise. That song of praise is comely. What's comely? It's beautiful. So listen to me. What this world would scorn and ridicule and deem to be derogatory, praising God. How many of you know the world thinks we're nuts? Glory to God. The Lord examines it and says, no, it is beautiful. All right. I want my clappers to come up. Take your places. Glory to God. Again, what the world ridicules, deems it derogatory, the Lord said, no, it's beautiful. So listen, when there is an eruption of power in the church from our old faithful, then let the record state, come on, clappers, it is beautiful to rave when a soul is being saved. It's beautiful to celebrate when somebody's being healed. It's beautiful to be clamorously foolish when habits and addictions are being broken. Woo! It's beautiful to weep when the choir is worshiping in the spirit. It's beautiful to dance. Come on, praise Him in the dance. It's beautiful to dance when the strongholds are coming down. It's beautiful to clap when the Word of God is being preached with a Holy Ghost anointing. It's beautiful to celebrate when the church is rejoicing in the aisles. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me of cancer to the uttermost, it makes me want to shout hallelujah when I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, how He turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, come on, hallelujah. Don't tell this girl to shut up. I ain't gonna shut up. Okay, clappers. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, now, I want us to look at the prescription for rekindling first love. I had Ron put a granny on there. Get well. How many of you know we're not going to get well till we get rekindled? We're talking about the church here. Get well. And here it is. There is a remember, repent, and redo, and all three of those are found in what? Revelation chapter 2. We read it in verse 5. Everybody say re. Okay, now, step one, we need to remember Revelation 2:5, that Jesus was telling this church through John the Revelator. They were to remember from whence thou art fallen, from where you have toppled. Somebody say yes. Okay, now here's the good news. We can remember with hope no matter how high the fall was. All right, now look at this. Here's an old tree stump. And if it could talk, it would tell you about the height from which it had fallen. Can we have our tree stump? There we go. It would tell you about that. But listen, look at that picture. Left to itself, how many of you would agree? It has no hope, if it was left to itself, of ever reaching toward heaven and scaling the same height from which it had toppled. But listen, Job said in chapter 14 of his book in verse 7, there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it will sprout again. And he continues on in the next couple verses. He said, though the root wax or grow old, though the stalk die, yet through, what is it? The scent. Everybody give me a whiff. Just through the scent of water, the smell, it will bud and it will bring forth boughs. Oh, glory to God. Listen, life has a way of cutting us down. Es la verdad. Everybody say, it's the truth. How many besides me, you've been stumped? Come on. But listen to what the Lord says. This is good. I will open rivers. Now, stop right there. Everybody give me a whiff. It just takes a whiff. How many of you know we have a God? More than enough. He said, Edna, tell my people. Yes, it just takes a whiff. Come on. But he said, I will open rivers. Everybody say rivers. In high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry ground springs of water. And I said, here we go again. Everybody say, duh. Duh. If just the scent of water, the smell of water could bring that old tree stump alive, then what could rivers, fountains, pools, and springs do? Let me answer. When God opens up rivers and fountains and pools and springs, then our limbs are going to reach up toward heaven and we're going to scale greater heights than which we fall, where we topple from. Oh, glory to God. Hang on. Here's a picture of World War II Holocaust victims. Adolf Hitler had 6 million Jews exterminated. Out of those 6 million, 2 million were children. Now listen, but the Jewish people always remember with hope. Everybody say, remember with hope. That height from which they have fallen. Because listen, look at this next picture. On the wall of a Holocaust memorial, and there are 11 of them in the United States. Go into any of them. On one wall, you will see a tree stump with new growth sprouting from it, showing that the Jewish people, they still have life, even after the Holocaust. And look at this. Look at those six Hebrew words around that tree stump. Those are the names of the six locations where the Jews faced extermination, the six death camps. But listen, look, in every one of those six locations of the death camps are green leaves growing. They are remembering with what? With hope. It's like they're saying, Hitler! We're still here. Hey, I don't know what may have happened to you, but you need to get your limbs in the air and say, Satan, we're still here. There is hope of a tree that it will sprout again through just the scent of water. It will bud and bring forth boughs. Glory be unto God. And I want to tell you this, church, the Lord said, ask him, who can dam up a river that I open up in high places? Who can stop up a fountain that he opens in your valley? Tell me who can drain the pool that he creates in your wilderness? Tell me who can dry up the springs that he opens up in your dry lands? Oh, glory be I smell a whiff of water. We're going to clap. Come on, somebody say yes. Yes. We're going to dance. Yes. Come on, we're going to rave. Yes. We're going to celebrate. Yes. We're going to be clamorously foolish because we're still here. You've come against us. You've knocked us down, but we're not knocked down. Glory to God. You've stolen from us, but we're going to rise again. Hallelujah. We're still here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, remember. Remember with hope. Okay, the second thing that Jesus said for us to be able, again, you know, to come alive, have our first love rekindled, we need to repent. I wanted to get to that session, but I just couldn't get to it in the leadership. Everybody say, repent. For years, I've told the teenagers at the Barberville Pentecostal Youth Camp, repentance is more than just being sorry. Somebody say yes. But it is what? A 180 degrees, 180 degree change in direction. Now, don't do a 360. Come on. It's just you go, you're headed one direction, and you, everybody say pivot. And start heading this direction. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how sorry, you may have some regrets, but until you turn and walk away, it's not true repentance. Somebody say, I know that's right. How many besides me, you need to repent? Come on, we all do. Daily if needed, yes. Okay, now listen. You may be here, and for whatever reason, you may need to do a pivot, a 180. And walk away from bitterness, anger, resentment, and discouragement. Because how many of you know those are attributes that can rob us of our first love? Yeah. Okay, now allow me to share with you two truths that can help you pivot. Here's the first one. God bless E. Stanley Jones. In a conflict, the person who is more clearly in the right is always in greater danger of being overcome by bitterness than the person who is more clearly in the wrong. Now, this is for somebody. How many of you know God wanted somebody to get this message of repentance? Every speaker in the breakout sessions, you know, everybody's talking about repentance. Tap the one on the right and say, you probably need to do a pivot here. Here's truth number two that will help you pivot. I love this. When you're shouting, help, Lord, it's not my fault. It's Lisha's fault. It's not mine. Help, Lord, it's not my fault. At the same time, heaven is also shouting. And this is for somebody. When one thing is happening, there's always something else going on. You think this old woman ain't cool? The issue is not, hey, man, what's happening? Come on, Lish. Now, keep that out of your hands. I need you to help me. You're going to have to repent here. The issue, it's not, hey, man, what's happening? The issue is, hey, man, what's going on? Yeah. I want to tell you the story of Robert L. Vernon, a policeman. For 37 years, Robert served with distinction in the Los Angeles Police Department. What is that? Los Angeles, the city of the angels. How many of you know there's plenty of demons in Los Angeles? They're everywhere. In the city of angels. 37 years he served with distinction, unblemished service. You couldn't put your finger on anything. But listen, toward the end of his tenure, he was forced to resign because of his conservative Christian beliefs. Now, let me tell you what happened in the city of the angels. Someone took a cassette recording. See me later. People under 20, they don't know what a cassette is. 14 years earlier in his church, someone took a cassette recording that the police chief had made. Now listen, they edited it. They took out a word here, they took out a word over there. Did you know if you just take out one or two words, you can make that person say exactly the opposite? That's why you need to watch when you get these phone calls. Don't ever use the word yes. They can farm it out and use it against you. Well, it severely damaged the reputation of the police chief. Part of that 37 years, he was the assistant police chief. But I'll tell you, it severely damaged his reputation. And somebody needs this right here. I want you to look at this. You need to know there's a difference between reputation and character. Look at this. Satan may damage our reputation, but he can't blemish our character because our reputation is what others think we are, but our character is what God knows we are. This is good stuff. His reputation was severely damaged, and he lost his first love for the Lord. He was angry with God. God, why did you let this happen? And you know what? It took a ride on the Colorado River to help that policeman know that there's a difference between what's happening and what's going on. Let me help you. On the most violent place on the Colorado River, it's a place called Kermit Falls. Everybody say, rivet, rivet. I should have brought my frog hat. I don't know how many men were in the raft with the policemen, but the most violent place is Kermit Falls. And all of a sudden, Robin, the raft master, spun the raft sideways with the full power of that Evinrude motor. The police chief about went crazy. He thought, has our master, our raft master, has he lost his mind? Here we are, the most violent spot, and we're going down like this. Come on, give me one of these. And he thought, well, maybe I just, I need to jump out. Look up here. But then all of a sudden he saw it. And there in the middle of the Colorado River was this huge, sharp, jagged rock. And then, bam, it hit him like a ton of bricks. He understood why the raft master had spun the raft sideways with the full power of the Evinrude engine. What? It was to push them around that rock. Now look up here, every eyeball. One thing was happening. Come on, give me this sideways. That's your raft. One thing was happening, but something else was going on. And I want to tell you something. If he had jumped overboard, number one, he would have either drowned, or number two, he would have been crushed to death on that rock. This was an old story that I've told before about this police chiefman, but chief of police. But listen, it reminded me of this slide right here, of what Charlton Heston. How many of you, you probably don't even know Ben-Hur, do you? An old movie? Charlton Heston, here's a famous scene, the chariot scene. He told Cecil B. DeMille, the director, he said, listen, Cecil, I can drive this chariot. That's no problem. But I'm not sure that I can win the race. And Cecil B. DeMille looked at Charlton Heston and he said, Charlton, you stay in your chariot. I'm the director. I'll see to it that you win the race. Now listen, here's what I feel like the Lord wants me to say to you. Listen, you stay in your raft. If God has your raft going sideways, it's for a reason. Your problem is you only know what's happening, but you don't know what's going on. But let me tell you what was going on with this police chief. Yes, he was maligned. He was evil spoken of. He was misrepresented. He was lied on. That's what was happening. But God was raising up a leader that would travel around the world to more than 30 countries and hold leadership seminars. Show them the name of his book, honey. Character is the foundation of strong leadership. You know what? He would go into these 30 different countries and he would hold seminars with the military, with the police, and with political leaders. Wow, all I could say was it hit me like a ton of bricks that because that police chief was willing to turn and walk away from bitterness and anger and discouragement, God multiplied his ministry, took him out of the city of Los Angeles, and sent him around the world. And he said, Edna, you tell my people, I'll multiply your ministry, the Lord says, if you will do a 180. It doesn't matter whether you were right or not. You need to do a 180, walk away from that bitterness and that anger and that resentment, and God will multiply your ministry. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. How many of you know you need to repent? He wasn't in the wrong. Those other people were. But that bitterness was destroying what God wanted to do. Now listen again. Do you remember me telling you? You got two people in a conflict. The one who's more clearly in the right is always in a greater danger of being overcome with bitterness than the one who's more clearly in the wrong. Somebody say, duh. Give the Lord another clap offering of praise. Everybody say, it ain't what's happening. It's what's going on. How many's getting something out of this? Okay, hallelujah. All right, now we're putting the tail end on it here. The last part of that prescription, it's all in Revelation 2 and verse 5. What was it? The first thing was you need to remember from where you've fallen. And remember what? With hope. And then the second part was what? Repent. Do a 180. All right, and here's the third thing. We're about to close out here. And it is redo. Jesus said to this church at Ephesus through John the Revelator, do the first works. Now, here's a gentleman, Dr. Tony Evans. I love his ministry. Somebody say yes. Glory to God. And he said this. I've read a lot of his books. I like him, his ministry. He was talking about husband and wives, but really it's true for all relationships. Listen, look at this. It's profound. How many of you know the most profound things are the simple things? Yeah. People cannot have the relationship they used to have if they're not willing to do the things they used to do. Is that profound or what? And then I want to show you one other thing. This one was not by Dr. Evans, but I found this. I love this. I read everything I can find. The one whom you love the most, if we can have the next picture, the one whom you love the most will motivate everything you do in life. Your values, your priorities, your perspectives are all determined by your relationship with Jesus. If you don't hear anything else that I said, I want you to get a hold of that. How many of you know the most important thing in your life and mine is to be in love with Jesus? Amen. Like never before. I'm going to tell you this story, and then we're going to pray. There was an elderly man. He'd been married to his wife over 50 years. The last 10, she suffered with dementia. She didn't even know who he was. I guess the story touched my heart because Ron and I have been married 51, soon be 52 in June. Again, the last 10 years of that 50, she had dementia, didn't know even who he was. He took care of her as long as he could. Then he was forced to put her in a nursing home. He asked a pastor to visit his wife. One morning, the pastor showed up early at the nursing home, and he noticed that even though she wasn't going anywhere, she was still fully dressed. She didn't have on house coat and house shoes. Her hair was combed, she'd been bathed and everything. And her husband, he told the pastor, he said, "Pastor, listen, I arrive here at this nursing home every morning at 6:15. Somebody said, "Whoa, wake the chickens up." He said, "You'd think I was on staff here." He said, "I feed her. I bathe her. And I stay with her. And I will." Until one of us die. I told the story here. I said, what would make an elderly man be at a nursing home at 6:15 in the morning for his elderly, confused wife who doesn't even know he's there, who he is? Why? And I believe the Lord spoke this to me. It's because that elderly man did not see what others saw when they came to visit his wife. They saw an old woman with gray hairs, wrinkles, a confused mind. Her vitality gone. That's what they saw. But he saw his bride. He saw the mother of his children, his confidant, his best friend. Look up here. He saw his first love. I want to thank you. 24 years ago, just a couple of weeks ago, I went through my cancer surgery. My right breast was removed. I went through the chemo and radiation. When I was so weak, and I could not get out of the bathtub, you helped me, and I thank you. When I was so sick after a chemo treatment, and I couldn't eat, you made for me white grape jello. I could keep that down. Thank you. When I looked into the mirror, my head was as bald as an eagle. Not a hair on my head. You told me, honey, you're beautiful. Not leaving your first love. Thank you.
When I first heard of Jesus, of his love and his grace, my heart was overwhelmed to think a king would take my place. I cried, Lord, I'll go with you every step of the way. That's all I can do.
This afternoon, and you need a whiff, a scent of water to cause your stump to bring forth boughs. Are you here? Have you been tempted to jump out of your raft? Are you here Are you upset because of what's been happening? Are you here? And do you need to turn and do a 180? Walk away from some bitterness and anger. Are you here? Can you say the Lord? I want my love to be rekindled. I'm going to ask as many of you as can, and I want the prayer team to come. Help me to pray. If you're able, go ahead and kneel. If not, just stand. Come on, as many of you as can. I think we all could stand. A whiff, a scent of water. Come on, as you come, we'll sing, I love you too much. Come on. To fail, just fill in the front. If you want to kneel or if you want to stand, let's worship Him too.
Oh, I promised the Lord.
How many of you are ready to praise the Lord and thank Him for all He has done in this place? Sister Wager said, we're not going to be quiet. And it's not just about praising Him here. Throughout this week, I encourage you, you give Him your praise. You open your mouth and you shout, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, God, I'm still here. Enemy, you didn't stop me, right? We are still a powerful army of God. And the world needs to look out because God's got a plan and He's doing something. And man, it's good. It's so good. So I'm so, so thankful for all He's doing. I'm thankful that you guys took time to come and seek the face of the Lord. And I believe you will be greatly blessed because of that. So continue to seek God. Continue to feed that spirit man within of you. Continue to repent when you need to repent. And I believe, ladies, that I am looking at a generation. All of you, young and old, we are a generation. We're not separate generations. We are a generation of Christian people, of God's representatives on this earth that can turn the world upside down. Hallelujah. He is so good, so, so good. I do have some announcements for you. So if you want to make your way back to your seats, if you'd like to, just for a couple minutes. Can we give Sister Wagers one more hand? I don't know if I'll ever look at hand clappers the same again. And that's what I love about her. She takes something, and when you see it, you're going to think of it differently. And it's going to remind you of this moment. It's so, so good. All right, so a couple things coming up. In our Ohio district, we have a spring conference this coming weekend. It is Friday night at 7. It is Saturday at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited. It's in Lima, Full Gospel Tabernacle. Friday night, we are honoring some ladies who have served the Lord for many years. And then Saturday morning, we are honoring some graduates, some younger people of our Forerunner program, which is ages 17 to 30. So if you're able to come and support that, we encourage you to do so. And our Bishop Isaac Shelton, can you stand up? We just want to give him a hand for being here. And he will be sharing with us next weekend. So especially if you're a part of the PCG, do not miss it. You need to be there. This is what God has called us to. This is where God has placed us. So we need to know what God is saying to us as an organization. If you're not part of the PCG, you're still more than welcome to come. It's open to anyone and everyone. Also for my PCG folks, we have family camp coming up August 5th through the 9th. Save the date. And this year we are going to have a women's ministry event one of those days. We're looking at possibly a spa day, informally. So it'll take place on the campground, but we'll do some pedicures, manicures, foot massages, back rubs, whatever. We're going to figure it out, have a good time. So look for that information that will be coming. Also, for the first time, I think, ever, I'm not sure that this has ever happened before, we used to have a tri-state family camp years ago before my time. That was with Kentucky, Indiana, and us, I believe, was that right, or was it Michigan? Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But now, for I think the first time ever, we're going to do a women's retreat with Kentucky, us, and Indiana. So Tri-State Women's Retreat. If you want to mark your calendars, our dates are September 5th through the 7th. So we have 3 days, 2 nights. For this year, it's going to take place in Indiana. This may turn into an annual event that will rotate different states, but it's going to be powerful. So if you enjoyed today, put this on your calendar. It's going to be just as good, I promise you. And Sister Melissa Patillo is coming, and I've been informed she is a dynamic speaker, so you will be blessed. So plan to attend that if you're able. And then for all of our women's ministry groups in the PCG throughout the state of Ohio, this is our Alabaster offering time. So if your church has collected an offering for Alabaster, feel free to get that to me today, or you can bring it to spring conference next week or mail that in. And that goes to help our national women's ministry office with their office costs, but also outreach. But half of it stays to our state. So our state and women's ministry, so we appreciate your help for that. And then, I know there's lots of stuff going on. Like us on Facebook. So Ohio PCG Women's Ministry. This is kind of an interesting format because this is actually a lighthouse event. But a few years ago, Sister Wilson, who I appreciate, was our former women's ministry director. And if she was here, I would give her a standing ovation. She was wonderful. But she has moved on. And so several years ago, she said, can we just open this up to the whole district? Because this is a really good conference. And I'm like, absolutely, that's fine. So it's a lighthouse event, but we open it up to Ohio PCG all over. We open it up to every church. It's the more the merrier. So it is a lighthouse event, but it's open to everybody. So for Ohio PCG Women's Ministry, please like us on Facebook so you can follow the events. We post everything on there that we're doing. And again, it's open up to everybody. So Ohio PCG Women's Ministry on Facebook. My last two things I want to share for Ohio Women's Ministry, our mission this year is to evangelize, disciple, encourage, and equip. So I hope you felt some of that today, because that is our intention. So every event we do throughout the year for women's ministry will fall into one of those categories or several of those categories, because we feel like that is vitally important. And the last thing, my vision for women's ministry for the Ohio District for the year comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And so, ladies, I love this. I love that it's different churches, different towns, different people. Some of you I met today for the first time, and I'm so glad you're here, because we are better together. The body of Christ needs to know how to come together and support one another. And so thank you. Thank you for being here to support me. I want to be here to support you. We are in this together. And so I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. If you'll just stand with us, we're going to pray and be dismissed. Feel free to stay in fellowship, chat. I think we have some desserts left. You can help yourself to those. They must have left them on that table for a reason, so help yourself. Take them home with you. Take one for the road. All right, ladies, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God. I thank you for taking time to teach us and to pour into us and to develop us, dear God, and just to make us who you want us to be. I'm so thankful, God, that you have a perfect plan for each and every individual. And so, God, as we determine in our heart to seek you, to find you, to follow you, Lord, I know you're going to do great and mighty things in our midst. God, I just speak that there are souls that are going to be saved through our boldness of speaking to them, dear Lord. God, I believe that there are people that will be healed, not that they have to be in a church service, but because we are bold in you and we are going out and we are following after you, God, people will be healed in stores and restaurants and gas stations, wherever we go, Lord, that we are representing you and we are representing you well. So in the name of Jesus, I just declare that we are yours. We belong to you. You can have free will in all that we do and think and say, God. We are your daughters. Have your way in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.